Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown from Rideau's Recognition Management Institute. Unfortunately, Roy couldn't join us today, but I'm delighted to say that we have an amazing guest, someone we've had on the show before, and is joining us again today, Nick Cirillo. For those of you who remember his name, he's the CEO, the founder of Nick's Pizza and Pub, and he recently wrote a book called A Slice of the Pie, a book which I really, really enjoyed. And this is why, because Nick is really busy. In fact, the sixth busiest independent pizza company in per-store sales in the United States. Founded with the purpose of providing the community with an unforgettable place where families could relax and have fun, Nick's Pizza and Pub has margins nearly twice. Maybe I'll say that one more time, Nick. Nearly twice that of the average pizza restaurant, and boasts an 80% employee retention rate in an industry where the average annual turnover is over 150%. He's a regular speaker at entrepreneur and HR conferences, and Nick credits his company's success to his purpose-driven culture, and I would have to agree. Nick, I'm so grateful you're on the show with us again today.
Oh, thank you. I'm really grateful to be here. This is exciting. I love sharing what we do here at Nix and the success we've had in building a strong, positive culture in our organization. And I look forward to other companies and sharing this so we could do the same, like you said, inspiring greatness in others. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. And the way you're doing it, you're getting such amazing results. And it speaks for itself, doesn't it? I mean, no one would be talking about this if it wasn't delivering such great results. But in fact, you enjoy tremendous success as a result of literally taking care of people, inspiring them.
Yeah, you know, it's not really rocket science, you know, but I've done a lot of work over the past 17 years since I started my business and building a company that I've always wanted to work for. You know, I really feel like so much of our life is dedicated to the work that we do every day. So why not have it be fun? Why not have it be something that you're excited about, you know, when you get up in the morning? So I think that's where, you know, we've done that. And like you said, the results of, you know, something, you know, in our industry where there's 150% turnover on average and we have less than 20% is a great example of how things are working for us.
I think that's a huge statement. And let's be honest, it's not because you're paying, you know, 120% above industry standard either, is it? But the way you treat people.
No, it's minimum wage stuff, you know, and, you know, we have executives and stuff too, but it is pretty, you know, it's the average everyday business, you know, so that's my point. It's like we don't have to be, you hear so much on the news and stuff about Zappos and Starbucks and Google, those great cultures, you know, with these big, you know, multi-million dollar companies. And what I want to share is that we don't have to have those billion dollar companies to have a great culture in our everyday businesses as well. I mean, that's really what America's made up of, is the corner grocery store, the restaurants, you know, the liquor store. I mean, those are dry cleaners. You know, that's what America's made of. And we could have great cultures and create great companies where people really enjoy going to work and we're actually doing something positive in the world.
How did you learn to run a business like this? Because, Nick, I know you say it's common sense, but it's not commonly practiced, unfortunately. I mean, you know, you and I both know well that there's a lot of companies out there that haven't captured the way you treat people, the way you try to run a company with purpose that retains people that are working for an hourly wage and feeling really important and feeling meaningful in what they do.
Yeah, that's interesting. How did I learn is... you know, we have a saying here that common sense really isn't common. Nothing common
about
common sense. What I did, I think part of what I learned was actually, you know, like many of us, you work for other companies, and I learned what not to do was one part of what I did improve on when I had my own company. You know, I had some bad bosses and things like that and bad experiences in companies and said, you know what, I knew I was going to be an entrepreneur. I always felt like I was going to run my own business. And I always thought that, you know, I'll never be like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I started out just, you know, once I opened my restaurants and I realized, okay, they're busy, I'm going to make it. And, you know, which was a big question mark in the very beginning. Then I said, oh, I could actually build the kind of company I've always wanted to work for. And that's where a lot of it is all self-taught. I mean, I did create systems, but then I read a lot of books about great companies, you know, a book like Built to Last and things like that that really inspired me. And then I went out and found a consultant when it was time for me to grow that, you know, I turned away a lot of the consultants that were all bottom line focused. I found the consultant that was in alignment with my values. And then I did go to organizational psychology school like Gestalt in Massachusetts. So I did a couple things like that. But I really think the big difference is where people get stuck is people talk about, you know, they have ideas, but they don't do something about it. For me, it was really important if I learned something in a book and I thought, wow, this is great to have in my company, I put it in place and I created a system around it so it could be repeatable and it wasn't just dependent on me being here. So, yeah, did that answer your question pretty good?
No, absolutely. And it brings more questions, really, because, you know, a lot of people say that they have a purpose. A lot of people say, yeah, we put the mission, vision, values into place, but it just doesn't seem like it's working the way you execute on it. But I think it's because you actually reward based on those behaviors as opposed to just putting lip service to something like that and then hoping someone does something different.
Yeah, that's so true. And it is really... really important nowadays. Well, for one, I start with purpose for us here at Nick's and myself is different. I see it differently than a mission or vision.
Yeah.
You know, those missions and visions are future statements about, you know, a mission to go get the hill, you know, go take the hill. You know, we're going to get on a mission to do that. Purpose is present tense here and now.
Yeah.
So it creates a meaningful place to work. You know, so I think you have to hold that as, you know, that process in place for sure. And in the language of stating and articulating our purpose, it's present tense purpose, you know, it's present tense language like ours is. Ours is our dedicated family provides this community an unforgettable place to connect with your family and friends, to have fun and to feel at home. So the other aspect about purpose is that it's not the what, it's the why we're here, why we're doing what we do, not what we do. You know, there's no pizza in our purpose.
Yeah, can you tell us what it is?
What I just repeated, you mean the purpose?
Yeah, the purpose, yeah. So what is the purpose at Nick's Pizza?
Yeah, it is our dedicated family provides this community unforgettable place to connect with your family and friends, to have fun and to feel at home. So,
yeah.
So that's the Nick's experience. We call the Nick's experience. Now, what's great about that is that, you know, like with many entrepreneurs, I had this passion inside me. And now that I've articulated my purpose, our purpose as a company, now there's a shared expectation for all of us around what we're here to do.
Yeah.
And because it's present tense and our values are also present tense, it becomes a performance metric as well. We're performing to that in the moment, not something we're going to strive to, like in a mission, that we're going to strive to get here someday. And then so if any of the team members or myself is not performing, we could always say, oh, we're, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room in there. Oh, I'm going to do better next time. You know,
right.
Versus here's how, you know, here and now it's present.
Well, the other thing I really like about this is that while you are in the present, if an issue comes up, which is inevitable, right? I mean, we all have disagreements that'll happen or someone who didn't quite measure up to something. So you have a model that talks about, okay, so here's the issue. This is the problem that just came up. Let's put that up against our purpose and our values here, and then we'll come up with a solution to see where the disconnect was.
Yes, yeah. That's great, Max. It's so important. You know, We're just talking about mission and vision, and you know, a lot of companies that, you know, have a lot of rhetoric around it, and it's like on the wall. This, you know, for me, I realized that our purpose and our values are really our competitive advantage. They're what differentiate us from the gazillion of restaurants that are in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
And that's the opportunity for any company. Well, if you're going to go through that work of defining your purpose and values, it's got to be alive and vibrant in the culture in order for it to really stand out, in order for your organization to stand out. So that's why the things that we do in our coaching and in our performance all go back to having the purpose and values come alive. So issue, purpose, and value solution is a very simple tool. We teach that right in orientation, day one, to the 16-year-olds or the 40-year-old executives. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And it is a way that those words come off the wall and come into action. So, for example, you know, if Joe is up in the kitchen and he has, you know, we call the heart of the house, he has an issue with Sue, and he goes to a manager and says, you know, Sue just threw a dough ball, you know, across the house at me. Most organizations will, you know, go to the manager, and the manager will just tell Joe what to do. You know, if we go right from issue to, or right from the problem right to the solution, and that person, you know, Joe doesn't get a chance to know what values that manager used, if the manager's just using his own values or company values.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty typical because a lot of managers feel like that's their job. They feel like, well, that's what I'm getting paid to do. You know, I'm supposed to be important here. You know?
Yeah.
And for us, what I found more effective is the manager or myself, any of us, will walk Joe over to any of the million places that we have the purpose and values on the walls in the restaurant, you know, because they might not memorize them all yet. They might be a new team member. They probably don't know word for word every value. So walk over there and say, okay, how do you solve this issue using the values, Joe? And let Joe work through that solution himself. Oh, you know, how am I going to treat Sue with dignity and respect? How am I going to still have a direct conversation with her? You know, so that process might be a little bit time-consuming for a manager and a little bit more work than just telling somebody, but in the front end. But in the long end, you know, as far as sustainability goes, it's much more effective because now the team begins to know, okay, here's how we use the values and I make decisions, and it gets easier and easier as we go along. And as the culture gets stronger, it gets easier and easier.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah. And it's a great example of how you say, you know, we empower people. Well, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
We allow people to align themselves with the values, and when they see they're off course, they actually can self-correct. It's almost like they're looking out for each other, aren't they? It's a reinforcing value.
Yes, yeah, they are. They are looking for each other. They're supporting each other, and they get used to giving, the team gives each other feedback.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just creates a really positive culture where giving each other feedback and working through stuff and coaching each other becomes the norm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's not like I have to go out of my way or any of the managers have to go out of their way to have the team look after each other.
It
just happens.
Yeah.
You know,
I love this. We have to take a quick break.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to continue this thought. And how does this? What kind of systems do you have in place? What does it look like to help encourage people to lead like that? And how do you encourage them to build each other up like that, so that they are, you know, taking care of each other this way? Why? How does this happen? We're talking to our guest today, Nick Cirillo, the CEO of Nick's Pizza and Pub, and also the author, of course, of A Slice of Pie. This is Max Brown for Rideau's Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. This is Max Brown with our guest today, Nick Cirillo, author of A Slice of Pie. And Nick, we were just talking about how do you encourage that kind of behavior from people who are on the front line, but they're actually looking for out for each other. They're building each other up. They're holding each other accountable. How do you create a safe place for people? And I know you call it the safe space for people to give feedback so that they can have these kind of conversations.
Yeah, well, you're right. We have a tool, you know, just like issue, purpose, value, solution, and another one called Safe Space, and it's a communication tool that we use that actually, you know, I talked a little bit about that consultant that helped us, Rudy Mick from Mick and Associates, and he has this, a product of his is called that Safe Space tool, and it's 8 simple bullets that we teach. Again, we teach in orientation, day one, and it gives, you know, in most organizations, when you have a problem or, you have a conflict with someone, they, you know, might say, well, avoid that person or, you know, go work somewhere else. For us, we realize that that's not life. Life is that you're going to have problems, and the sooner you step into that conflict and work through the issues, the healthier the organization is going to be, the less drama there's going to be in an organization, and the higher performance is going to happen. And people will appreciate working together. So, So we use that Safe Space communication tool right off the bat to work through the conflict. And it, you know, it's about making I statements. It's about tracking or paying attention to data points versus meaning making. You know, we also talk about the body, you know, your body language and your tone of voice. So we start teaching that, again, just like issue value solution, you know, it's integrated with the values. A lot of these tools are not just one thing at a time. A lot of times it's an interwoven process that it just, you know, after a couple of times of practicing in something as simple as our orientation, people get used to it and they're like, oh, okay, this is... You know, and the other thing too, you know, is that it, you know, these are things that that our team, anybody could use in their life. So, you know, I share this stuff in my book, and it's not just what I hear all the time from our team members is that, wow, Nick, you know, Safe Space actually works in my relationship with my boyfriend or my husband or girlfriend, you know, because they're life skills. And that is a way that, you know, what the other benefit is that these tools enrich people's lives on a day-to-day basis. So that reinforces the engagement that...
Well,
happens as well.
Well, I love that. I love the idea as well, as you just mentioned, that, you know, sometimes I think we just assume that we have these skills inherently in us. And that's a dangerous assumption when you see how many people actually don't know how to communicate or resolve conflict or do something in a peaceful way. And think of how many cultures and workplaces that work without trust, or at best they just, you know, try to exist with each other. In fact, I was at a hospital system not far from where you are in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I was actually on the sixth floor with some operating room or some OBGYN nurses who said that they hated each other so much that they had to go out separate exits at the end of their work shifts.
Oh, ooh, that's not a positive culture.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. That is. That's not. It's just no way to live our life. There's no reason for it. We have really. That's the point of my book, is it's simple to really create a positive culture if we want to make the choice to do that.
Yeah. How do you encourage people to lead? I know you have a very transparent way of people being able to move up in the organization, but how do you encourage them to take that step or to, you know, stay at Nick saying, hey, there's a future for me here?
Yeah. It's interwoven within our systems. I don't actually have to explicitly encourage anybody to lead. It actually starts, here's a great example. It starts from day one. So at Nix, when someone fills out an application at Nix and we say, okay, we're going to interview you. They fill out an application. They turn in their application to a manager or a trainer.
Sure.
And instead of saying, handing that in and say, okay, we're going to call you for an interview, we have, right at the host desk in our restaurants, is an interview binder that has a schedule for the days that we have interviews. And what we ask is that new interviewee to sign up for the, open up the binder, look at the day. Here's the options, all the interview times that are open for you to sign up for your interview. You pick the interview that works for you and sign off on that interview time. So right off the bat, before they're even next, we're already sending a message about leadership and accountability, right? We're asking them, 16-year-old kids, 17, 40-year-old, doesn't matter. They're taking accountability and starting their leadership right there. Now if they're late or they miss it or anything, they're the ones who sign up for it, not us, right?
Yeah.
So it's the
A great example. Can you give me another example like that? Like once you're on the floor and you're making a decision for a client, I mean, what kind of decision-making processes can they make? And it shows them that, you're in charge. Make the right decision.
Yeah. Well, there's two parts. One is, what you just said there is that we have, the issue, purpose, value, solution.
Yep.
Product, that system in itself, that tool helps our service team make a decision around, a burnt pizza and taking care of a guest. What we talk about is solving the guest versus solving the problem, right?
Mm.
It's more than just a silly problem. Someone came for the Nix experience. We have to make sure they're wowed and they leave with the feeling that they really came for the experience that they came here for. So that's part of it. I think the other part, relating back to what you talked about around leadership, is the team is used to taking the lead and making decisions on their own because it's cultivated throughout everything we do. So I think the opportunity for other organizations is to do what we've done here around having your career path actually right out in the open, right up. For us, it's a certification board that's put up on the wall in our basement, and the team actually could see. Any company could do this as well. We've outlined, okay, here's the positions in our organization that, if you get certified on, you get trained on, you're creating more value in our organization. So once you're so now on the board, you could see the people who are getting certified in these different positions. And after they get 3 certifications and then 6 certifications each level, they can get their own raise. So now, what the benefit of that is, we have totally open books, of course, but the team, and I've heard this over and over, especially when I was interviewing for the book. The team member said, this is one of the things we love, is that I could see my career path, so it's up to me to get my own raises and improve myself based on my own motivations to do so. You know, and
I love it.
Yeah, so that's where I think, I don't care if you have an accounting firm or any kind of white-collar, blue-collar organization, you could do this, and that fosters, again, that fosters that leadership, that decision-making process, you know, all the way through the organization.
Oh, it's such a great example. Yes. I love a quote from the book, and quoting you, you write, many people in the human resources field talk about employee engagement as a top priority for a company. Mm-hmm. But I've found that the most effective way to keep team members engaged is to aim higher, to build a system of employee enrichment. When you have systems in place that allow people to develop and emerge as leaders, they will naturally feel engaged at their work.
Yes.
And that the way you just gave us that example of what enrichment is like, I mean, that they can go and choose the programs and the training that they personally need so that they can go up to that next level. I mean, their raise is determined by the speed of their own desire to take classes and improve.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, Max, I'm walking through the restaurant sometimes, and I'll have moms pull me aside and say, "Wow, what'd you do to my son? I could talk to him now." And something I've had some of the kids and the moms come to me and say, this even something the tool like issue value solution has given these young adults a way to work through values in their own life.
Yeah.
That's the enrichment part. You know, the safe space communication tool. I had Savannah, who's a senior in the high school over here. She said, Nick, can we bring the safe space to high school so there's no drama and gossip in the hallways at the high school?
Wow.
So, it's those type of things. Our coaching model, again, it's another thing that, works here at the organization for sure. And it also works in your life, So that's how you create enrichment in a place that works. It's more holistic. I mean, it really works for the organization, for the individual, and, we all benefit from it. It's a win-win.
You talk about this enrichment, and a lot of people, again, put a lot of lip service to enrichment and say, we offer training and da-da-da-da-da. But let's be honest, when times get hard, a lot of people cut back on training, cut back on the way that they treat their employees, saying, sorry, this is just the way it goes. I know you spend an incredible amount of resources making sure that they get really good training, putting these systems in place, bringing in consultants that offer models like Safe Space and the innovation or the solution and purpose and, right. and solution. I mean, these are big things. They cost you money, but obviously there's a return on investment that makes this way worth it.
Yeah, a lot of companies, especially in the restaurant industry, I laugh at this all the time. You look at their P&L, and they have a line item for help wanted ads, for turnover, for all that, because it's a big expense to them. And to me, it's so backwards. Instead, I believe in these processes we have in place, treating your business like a school and training people effectively. So now what we're doing is we're investing in retention instead of expensing turnover. And there's a much greater return on investment from that angle, from that perspective.
Yeah, expensing all these ads and the turnover and all these other things that they're going to get, and they're probably going to get theft and disengagement once they're there because they're not happy and they're trying to get more than they deserve, or at least that they think they deserve.
Yeah.
You're creating a different experience for people.
Yeah, totally. And it's like I said, we don't have to. We get at least 50 applications on a weekend. We're probably all the high school, colleges, local colleges. We're probably the most. What people talk about is that we're difficult. It's difficult to get a job at Nick's. They have a really high bar. It's a great expectation. High expectations, and we're the most desired place to work. So it's counterintuitive. Raise the bar higher, and actually you get more people applying for a job. You don't have to spend any money for ads. It's funny because I want to continue to talk to you know, I share this with other business owners, and they ask me questions about how you do this at Knicks. And the purpose of my book is to really share that it's not very difficult. It's not all that complex. I spent a lot of money over the years and a lot of time, and I want to help people with that big learning curve. I've shortened the learning curve for other business owners by putting it in the book. And I hear people say, well, you know, defining your purpose is like this big thing. You know, you have to go on a big retreat, and it's not really that difficult. And it's helpful to have a consultant like I did, Rudy Mick. You know, you have an because he's an outside observer. You know, to walk the owner and the team members involved in the organization and say, okay, what's going on in our business? How are we different? But that's not that difficult, you know, especially if you have an outside observer helping you, like a consultant, define that piece.
Sure.
And the benefit, the return, the creating a meaningful place to work like that is outstanding, especially with the younger generation. We have 70% of our team is probably under 25, and I really believe that that why we have such a low turnover and we get such high performance out of the younger generation is because they want to be a part of something more meaningful. And they want to be a part of an organization that has leaders that are coaches, trust and track leaders instead of command and control leaders.
Well, and we're going to talk about that coaching when we come right back after this break, but that's a huge comment. Let's be honest, Nick, when my kids get old enough, I'm going to have to move so that they can come apply for a job at Nick's Pizza and Pub, man.
Great,
it's an experience we need all kids to experience, man. I understand it. I get it. And why don't more people do this, you know? People want meaning in their lives, and we know this, and owners aren't the only ones.
Right.
And they'll get a better business result if they just help people understand that for themselves as well.
Yep. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yep.
Nick, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. We're definitely going to talk about this coaching model and how that has evolved as well. I love this conversation. Of course, for all of our listeners, we're speaking with Nick Cirillo, CEO of Nick's Pizza and Pub and author of A Slice of Pie. This is Max Brown for Adobe's Real Recognition Radio. We'll be right back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio. Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. This is Max Brown with our guest today, Nick Cirillo, author of A Slice of the Pie. Nick, just before the segment break, you were talking about how the coaching is an important component for you. And you suggest that we should train managers to be coaches. And the connotation of a coach in the past has not always been good. And you emphasize that instead of serving as enforcers of company rules, managers should be serving other team members. How do you accomplish this?
Well, just like anything else, you're right. I mean, I've had some pretty rough coaches, and the ones that kick you in the butt and tell you just to just yell and scream at you. And I feel like there's organizations and even sports teams haven't done enough to teach coaches how to be coaches or managers and leaders how to coach. They just tell them coach. So like so many things I've done, I broke down and said, okay, what's the behaviors? And then, that coaches need to do, along with, again, Rudy's help and bringing some of those organizational psychology tools into our organization. So one example of that is we have, three specific ways that you give feedback through a feedback loop is the first one, which creates, it's actually a two-way conversation. It creates a relationship between you and the team member in the feedback loop. Then the second is performance feedback, where that might be a little bit more one-sided, but it's about recognizing the positive behaviors and adding to it. And then the third one is direct feedback. Just five words or less, just give either celebrate or course correct. In the moment, busy Friday night shift or Saturday night shift, you don't really have time. The idea, though, is not to start with direct feedback, because that's where, if you haven't built a relationship up with some, with your new team member yet, and you go right to direct, holy cow, you're going to probably come across as a jerk, So that's a simple tool. The other one is, how to get something done from four different quadrants, by being an ally, a guide, or a teacher or an activist. Again, another model that we talk about in the book, and we teach our trainers and leaders in our company how to work with each other and get something done, and so that it's really not about the team member, it's about the leader and your ability to use the white quadrant or coach in the most effective way to get the team moving and get things done.
So with that in mind, how do you, and you do bring it back to this leadership role is quite important. How do we help them see their role as not just enforcer or not enforcers of the company whatsoever, but really about serving people? And we've talked about servant leadership before. A lot of people have heard the term.
Yeah.
But your leaders actually feel like this is their duty. How does that work?
Yeah, I read the book as well, and a lot of talk about it. It is important, and command and control leadership, was a good management style back in the early 1900s when it was created. We were an industrial country, and there was there was all the factories and all those things, and people came in, they did their job, they were on an assembly line, and they were just told what to do. Well, those times are changed. We're not in the Industrial Revolution anymore. We're more of a conceptual age now, and trust and track is more important. And so what we talk about here at Nix and what we do is, so I just give you an example of how we coach. So how we coach actually does create trust within the team and the leader and in the organization. And then we have things, our checklist, like the way we ask a team member to open the restaurant or open the bar, is again a model around, treating the team members like adults and giving them a clear expectation what the results are, trusting them to do the right thing. And then at the same time, you have to track the results at the end and make sure that, the goals that we were clear about are actually getting achieved.
Yeah.
So that it is two-sided, because trust and hope is not very effective. It doesn't, that'll just cost you money and not get you anywhere. And track by itself is more just command and control. So again, what trust and track really does is it encompasses not just the financials, the financial metrics like a sales objective or things like that. Like for us, it's guest check average. you know, it's not just the guest check average, but it also is the behaviors. So we're tracking the behaviors that get that lead to the success as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of listeners at this point are saying, gosh, the model sounds great. So what do you do when people aren't performing up to snuff? You know, you're just not getting the performance you need from an individual. What do you do?
Well, there's a couple things. One is in the very beginning is what we do first, because we're anticipating, we're proactive around performance. So what we do is recognizing the positive behaviors we want to see more of. So you do that in the front end. Like, for example, my job, I walk through the restaurant, and I'm basically cheering on the team. I'm recognizing the server who's using the tray with three glasses. I'm recognizing values and connecting something like even something as simple, like I said, it's not complex. Something as simple as a server saying thank you or behind you, or, you know, so I'll connect it to treating the other team member with dignity and respect. You know, way to go, Sue. That's a great example of our value of dignity and respect. So I'm walking through the restaurant recognizing those behaviors. Great oven placement, Alan. You know, putting the pizza right in the perfect spot in the oven. So recognizing those positive behaviors in the front end. And so when the occasion does happen, when there is a course correction, it's as simple as being direct around the data points around that. And the difference is now I have a tool. Do I want to just tell that person? I have four different opportunities. I could just tell the person one way, hey, you know, or Alan, did you just notice that you put that pizza in the wrong spot? You know, is a question, or Alan, you put the pizza in the wrong spot, or Alan, show me how to put the pizza in the right spot. So so that's how we have, you know, four different opportunities to make that choice, and that's what we teach in training, for leadership training as well.
The nice thing about this as well is that you're going towards the behavior then and not towards the individual. So even when you do this course correction, they don't have to feel like they're being attacked because they're not.
Right. Yes. It's all got to be data-based. Even the positive feedback. So at NICS, feedback like good job is not even a vocabulary because that's useless. You know, vague generalizations like good job doesn't give an opportunity for that individual to actually repeat anything.
Yeah.
Good, right? I mean, but if I was to say, I love the way you put the perfect amount of green peppers on that pizza, now that team member knows, you know, I'm going to put that same amount of green peppers on my next pizza, right?
Absolutely. Hmm? That's what Nick cares about. That's what this business is about. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting for me because I know, and we've already talked about it a little bit already, but training and development are extremely important and for you guys. I mean, you do a lot of it. Can you give us an idea of what the training and leadership courses are? How many do you offer?
Yeah, we have, the great part about this over the years, because I realized, and one of the reasons I wrote the book actually was people were coming to me and saying, wow, what you're doing here is unique, you know, from guests, from business owners. And I said, well, I didn't think it was unique, but I thought it was just doing the right thing, and I want to share more of it. And so we have a NICS University. You know, we actually have been training this what we call Leading with Purpose, Trust and Track Leadership, for a long time as part of our internal process. So what we did was we opened up our internal process to the public. So now we have other people from other industries, from a lot of service industries, health clubs, restaurants, of course, insurance organizations, but school teachers, you know, so all different kinds of industries coming to our NICS University and taking our Trust and Track Leadership course, or sometimes we get a group in that we actually had a group from Germany come in and learn about our, we call a taste of our, a slice of the experience. So how do we actually create a culture in an organization like this? And we teach that as well, called the NICS Experience class.
Yeah, you've opened it all up. I mean, aren't you afraid that people, you know, they're going to be your biggest competition next door?
I love that question. I really do. You know, I would love for the restaurants next to us or anywhere around to get clear about their purpose and how they're creating meaning in their organization for for their people and for their community, I would love to do that, because what that's going to do is actually create a better place for us to live. It's going to have a positive impact on our world, and that's okay. It just ramps up our game a little bit. So we got to be competitive. I'm a very competitive guy. I love competition. So ramp up the game. Give me another challenge. I'm all for it.
Oh, man, I love it. And yeah. I love the way you go about doing this, because it really is open, and you really do mean it. And I think that there's, with you, and I felt this even the first time we talked over a year ago now, there's just an abundance mentality, like, hey, this isn't just about me, this is about all of us, and I really mean that, and then you put that into action.
Yeah, I tell you, there's, I mean, any manager, owner out there, some of us have experienced this before. I'm sure you've experienced this yourself, Max. Is it, you know, there's nothing like the feeling when you have, you know, when you've seen somebody step into their potential that they didn't even know they had. And that's what we're doing. We're helping people realize their potential that they were, you know, they just weren't open to it yet until we put, you know, until they came in the mix and we're putting these pieces and processes in place. That's what I'm sharing. And it's really a lot of fun, really rewarding.
Well, I feel that. I feel that today just on this show. I mean, your energy is just phenomenal, and I love it. What do you do when you have a bad day? How do you manage a bad day, Nick?
A bad day is really, I mean, we all have that, and I think it's about being present in the moment. It's not about, you know, it's not about getting sucked into the past. You know, the past, you can't do anything about the past. You can't do anything about the future. For me, it's really about staying centered and grounded.
Yeah.
And okay, what could I do in the moment to move forward? And the only time the past is useful is to say, okay, what's the lesson I'm going to learn from that past and put it in place right now in the present?
Yeah.
And then move.
Yeah. Man, love this stuff, Nick. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about this transparency that we brought up earlier, but I want to know what that feels and looks like at Nick's, and it's incredible as I read the book, but I want people to just get a feel for that.
Okay.
It's so much fun. For Vidoe's Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back with our guest, Nick Cirillo, CEO of Nick's Pizza and Pub and author of A Slice of the Pie. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. Let's continue the conversation with Nick Cirillo, CEO of Nick's Pizza and Pub, and get a final few pieces on how do you build a big little business. Man, it's just crazy, Nick, because you talk about transparency and how we don't have to be, you know, scared of it, but it's actually good for business. What do you say to those who are afraid because they think it'll make them more vulnerable? And two, what is the first step in creating this transparency? Why is it in their best interest?
You know, what I say is get over yourself, because it's happening. We don't have a choice anymore. I mean, it's Facebook is out there. You know, all the social media stuff. I mean, even websites like Glassdoor, any company you want to know about, you just go to glassdoor.com and you could see, you know, people giving feedback about the company. So transparency is here. So my invitation to all of us is embrace it. Embrace it with open arms. And, you know, mm-hmm. the beautiful part about it is, guess what? It's going to ramp up the game. We have to be the best company we could be. We have to be the best individuals we can. And if you don't have a problem being the best you could be and doing the right thing, then transparency is going to be your friend. It's going to be great. You know, for us, for example, we encourage our team to talk about us on Facebook. We're, mm-hmm. you know, of course, we trust them to do the right thing in a shift and not, you know, not get on their phones in the middle of taking care of a table or anything like that, you know. So in a shift, the team puts their phones aside. They're not going to, you know, on a busy Friday night, they want to take care of our guests because they understand the purpose, so they're not going to be on the phones. At the same time, at the end of the shift, or the beginning of the shift, they're going to put on Facebook, hey, come see me. Or they're going to talk about, what we do, what we continue to do, and again, you know, it's inside of work, it's outside of work. You know, use our values. If you're going to talk about next, if you're going to talk about the company that you want to be a part of and that you want to create with us, a great company, then use our values in safe space when you talk about us. So yeah. So it's really that simple, and it's not perfect. You know, we had a 17-year-old, you know, young lady talk on, you know, Facebook, and the funny part is it's not me or a manager that's calling that person out on it. It's their peers. It's a team mm-hmm. member saying, wait a second, Margaret, could you come down here? We want to talk to you about, the swear words you're using and things like that. You know, it's an amazing thing, you know. So that's what I say about transparency. The other part that I think is really important is what I've seen is effective, especially again with the younger generation that we have at NYX, is they are a great generation. They do have a strong work ethic. I don't care what people tell you about the younger generation. You know, it's a different work ethic than my generation for sure. You know, they have a higher expectation of leadership. What they want to see is transparent leaders. They want to see leaders that are actually going to do what they say they're going to do, not leaders that are going to, you know, the days of do what I tell you to do, not what I do, are over. You know, that doesn't work anymore. That's all. So just, you know, if I have a team member that I'm going to tell them that, you know, and at NYX we don't chew gum at work, so I'm not going to, you know, ask somebody to throw out their gum or remember what they were taught, you know, in orientation if I'm chewing gum myself, right?
Yeah,
I better
exactly.
chew out the gum myself first before I course correct that individual, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Where's the first step? What would one do if they want to be more transparent? They're like, oh, shoot, you're right. You know, people are going to do it whether or not we say it. So maybe what we're going to do is we're going to create a 500-page standard operating procedure on when and how you can use social media. I don't think that's what you're suggesting, right?
No. There's about three steps, really. I mean, one is open books. So we have totally open books, and we don't. And it's not just about having open books for the sake of having open books. We actually have open books so we could teach the team. We have fiscal huddles every week, so we could teach the team the language of business, fiscal literacy. And I don't believe that schools or organizations do enough to talk that language, because we have to, profit is definitely a part of our survival. So we have to understand together how we make profit, not just one person knows how we make profit. So that's one of the steps, open books. The other is that clarity around our values and our purpose. Get a consultant, Rudy Mick or whoever you want to use, you know, get an outside observer that can help you and your team understand what's going on, how you're different, what differentiates you, why you do what you do, not what, why you do what you do, and then using the values in how you do what you do. Again, nothing about the what in that as well. The what is the easy part, you know? So those are the big steps. And then, you know, running your business as a school. I mean, really thinking about your business as a school so that the learning and the self-development for the team is really clear, so they understand how they could not only create value in their own life, but create value for the organization as well.
Man, Nick, if people want to get more information on all these things we've been talking about today, or more information on the book, where should they go?
They can go right to my website at www.nickcirillo.com. Is a quick and easy way. From there, you can go to our company website. You can buy the book. You can see my blog. The Nick's University is on there as well. It's a really great place to start.
Yeah, Nick, I'm just so happy when you come on the show. You leave it out there. You keep it really real, which is what we're all about.
Yeah.
Where do you spend most of your time at work?
Well, I actually go back and forth to both restaurants. Actually, in the mornings, days like today, I'm doing more of the admin stuff and things like that. But it depends. I mean, you know, the other part I probably didn't name as well in the book as I could have is that this is a great succession plan for all of us as owners. That, you know, and so the opportunity then is I don't actually have to be in one restaurant or the other. I have the choice. I've created a place where I have a choice to be where I want to be because I enjoy being there. That's the beauty of it.
Huh? Man, if there's one last piece of advice you'd leave with folks, what would you tell them?
Oh, well, great question. I would say take, you know, put the fear of transparency, put all those fears aside.
Yeah.
You know, step into our work and the opportunity we have to create a meaningful place to work and to have healthy companies, because the companies of unethical behavior and not clear values, those things need to go away. It's a thing of the past, you know?
Yep. So, it's done. Yep. We're done.
Yeah.
We're tired of it.
Yep. Start with why and create a purpose and a meaningful culture, explicit culture.
Nick, I am grateful we're connected. Thanks again for being on the show. I'm really grateful for this conversation and for your time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. This is a lot of fun. And anybody wants to get a hold of me, please. I love to, you know, I answer all my emails, questions, any of that stuff. Please, you know, get in touch. No problem.
I love it. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for listening to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. Until next time, this is Max Brown reminding you to keep it real. Thanks again. Take care. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Internet, Rideau.com or S. Max Brown at S. Max Brown on Twitter or at Roy Saunderson on Twitter. Thanks again for Rideau's Real Recognition Radio.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.